So if you would turn in your Bibles and hold that spot, Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 17. And when y'all doing that, I got me a preacher story, Tommy. We might not even have to worry about the scripture after I say this. Y'all might run me out of here. That's okay. Not a plan. So there was a preacher walking down the road a long time ago, and this is based loosely on a true story, supposedly. So anyway, it's funny anyway. So he's walking down the road, and he sees a young man. And so he's surrounded by some young women that's giving him the blues and arguing with him. And he said, man, this young man's in trouble. So he said, the preacher walks up to him. Hey, young man, what's going on? Why are these women so mad at you, whatever? He said, well, he said, I told them the truth, and they don't like it. And he said, well, what's the truth? There's no women in heaven. And that preacher's like, can you back that up scripturally? That's what, you know, that's what we do, we should do. He said, yes, sir, I sure can. He said, but nobody believes me. Daryl, real quick, throw it at Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. And this is his proof of why there's no women in heaven. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half hour. So that young man based his thought on that. There's no way a woman, women can go a half hour without saying something, without being noise.
Oh my goodness.
All right, get that out of there before I get in trouble. So I just want to throw that out there. But hey, just thank God for his son, Jesus Christ. He died on the cross, and we all are eligible. Amen. And got the capability of going to heaven.
Amen.
Okay?
Right.
We just got to accept him, and we got to focus on what he has to do. And last week, and I usually don't base each sermon off of week. I don't script anything, for say, because it ain't going to happen. But a segue into today, we talked about obedience last week. Don't worry about the obedience unless you got Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Come on.
So to obey something, you got to have something.
Amen.
And so we're going to talk about salvation. It's the name of the sermon, you people that like to take notes. So salvation, past, present, and future. We're going to have our salvation. We're going to talk about it. So let's read our key verse, Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 17. If y'all haven't picked up yet, when I read and when I put an emphasis on something, my voice changes or I raise my voice, that means pay attention. Write it down or something, okay? So here we go. I am obligated, both Greek and non-Greeks, that means everybody, okay, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. Now here's the big one. For I am not ashamed of the gospel.
Amen.
Because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes.
Amen.
First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. Everybody. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And that is, I can butcher the name, Habakkuk, how you say it? 2:4 is where it is written. We live, a righteousness live by faith. So we're going to touch on, and so I like the number 3. It just works that way. So we're going to talk about 3 things that I put emphasis on: obligated, eager, and ashamed, or not ashamed. So those 3 things. Then we're also going to tie in justification. Now, I'm getting big words. Now, I ain't that smart, so don't say, ooh, look at these big words. So look, justification, sanctification, mm-hmm, and glorification.
Come on.
So what is that, you may ask? I'm glad you asked, because we're going to talk about it in a little bit. So let's go to obligated. This is Paul writing. And so, you know, this applies to us today. God's word is just as good today as it was then.
Amen.
and it always will be.
Amen.
Until he calls us home. Amen. And so while we're here, like Paul says, I am obligated. What's that mean? That means it ain't a choice.
Right.
Get that choice out of your head. Amen. We talk about working for God. We talk about obedience to him. Okay. He right off the bat, he says you are obligated.
Amen.
Obligated to everybody, because he said Greek and Jew, both to the wise and the foolish. Like Paul, this, like I said, this is Paul writing, we are obligated to preach the gospel to the people of all races, culture, intellect, non-intellect. Everybody deserves a chance, an opportunity to hear the word, the gospel, and make a then the choice is on them.
Right.
But we, as Christians, we can play Christian. Let's be obligated and do what Christians do,
right,
are obligated to do, and spread that word and get that opportunity to other people.
Amen.
God's going to work through you to get somebody else. It ain't you. It ain't me. It ain't us.
Amen.
It's God. It's Jesus Christ on that saber. We can't do it ourselves, but he can do it. And so, we need it. We're obligated. Those who know the truth, and this, we can talk about that in a minute. The truth, and I got a little comment here, gospel. And so as those two words tie in together, Christ, in Christ, are obligated to everyone who does not know Christ. First of all, let me just put it simple. What truth is? Jesus Christ. The gospel is the truth about Jesus Christ. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John is considered our gospels in the Bible. Okay, it's the truth. It's about Jesus Christ. You notice we got a common theme here. Everything's wrapped around Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
I love it. I didn't plan this. John 14:6, my favorite scripture. Oh, yeah. No one comes to the Father except through me. Period.
Right.
Period. Yeah. Okay. So we're obligated. Let's do something. We got to do it. Just some scripture here. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone. Now, we don't like that word. You know, we can do our own thing. We can do what we want to do. You can. You can do exactly what you want to do. You live in a country. We just, you know, we got these men that died for and women that died for our freedom.
Amen.
And again, a choice. You can do what you want to do, but you may, you know, you might have some consequences. Amen. Let me ask you this: have you ever done anything that you wanted to do, and it didn't work out so well?
Come on.
I made some poor choices in my life before, just a couple, and it didn't work out so good. I snuck out my bedroom window one time. Stole my sister's bicycle so the truck wouldn't wake my mom and daddy up to go to a party. I thought it was a good idea at the time. But I made a bad choice.
There you go.
And daddy let me know about it.
And
my mama.
But
we are obligated. We are slaves. You're going to be a slave. Let me put it this way. Let me put it more better in my terms. If you don't belong to Jesus Christ, then you belong to the devil.
Come on.
You're going to be a slave to someone. You don't have. That's the choice you don't have.
You're going to serve somebody.
Amen. Period. So make the choice to serve Christ, be a slave to him, to win as many as possible. To win as many as possible to Christ. And I'm still in 1 Corinthians. To the Jews, I became a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law. This is Paul talking. Though I myself am not under the law. And you can read through it. He's saying these different things. You know what he's saying? And stuff. He's doing what he needs to do to reach that person for Christ.
Amen.
Without compromising his relationship with Christ.
That's right.
So, if you got to go in the bad part of town to witness to somebody, go to the bad part of town and witness to somebody and get out of there. What he's saying is adjust to what you need to do to reach that person that you're trying to reach.
Amen.
Do what it needs to be done for sharing the gospel. A lot of people know this verse, Matthew 28:19. Talking about being obligated. Let me tell you where a lot of the obligation comes from. This is Jesus Christ himself talking. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations.
Amen.
That's everybody. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. We talk about, I like the number three. There's another three for you. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Okay? Go. You're obligated. What you got to do. And those of you that still work for a living, there's some that don't. I know y'all already did your time. But those of you that are still working, and when you were working, you didn't have much choice. You was obligated to go to work. You had to pay your bills, raise your family, right? You was obligated.
Amen.
There's no difference here. Except you got a lot more at stake here. We got eternity riding on your obligation, to do your obligation. And if you miss that mark, and I didn't write the scripture down, but you're going to answer for it.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
You're going to answer for it. You better do what Christ tells you to do because you're obligated. Paul chose not to exercise certain rights to advance the gospel. Just because you don't have to, because I live in the United States, I ain't got to do that. But you may want to do that so you can go reach somebody.
Amen.
What's more important? And so if somebody burning eternity in hell because you had too much pride or or too ashamed, and we've been getting that in a minute.
Amen.
And about being ashamed and stuff. So just think about those things. So that was obligated, the emphasis I put on there. The next one is eager. Are you eager? Are you excited about your walk with Christ? Are you eager to go out and do these things? I'm going to say not all the time, probably. Life happens. So, let me tell you, OC. So let me tell you, I say there's coincidences. I say jokingly that, there's coincidences. This happened, that happened. So yesterday I went and visited a person, 80-year-old man. And we was talking about Christ and different things. And he's a Christian. And he was talking about his life. He was telling me basically, he was retired. He worked here and there, whatever. And he was telling me that he was raised in church all his life. But the world pulled him away a little bit. But he said, the good news, the end result was he never forgot his upbringing. He never forgot where he came from. Now, he didn't follow it for a little while. So it just so happened, anyway, that happened yesterday. Unbeknownst to me, and so some of y'all in the church group, y'all see OC's text this morning? And I don't have it with me, it's verbatim, but it's don't let the world drag you in away from Christ.
Amen.
Is what it's saying.
Correct.
Don't let it happen. Don't let it do it. We got to be here.
Oh, yeah.
But we don't have to partake in the worldly stuff. We need to partake in what Christ obligated and eager for us to do.
Oh, yeah.
Be on fire for Christ to further his kingdom.
Right.
Be on fire. We got a Bible study, set the world on fire. That's
right.
That's where it's based off. Not exactly that scripture, but that's where it come from. Set the world on fire. In order for you to set the world on fire, you got to at least have a spark.
Amen.
You got to want to get it out there, right? You got to start that fire. You got to get that. And it's not going to get there by being a bench warmer on Sunday.
Come on.
You got to get out. You got to take what God is using. And I'm nobody. But God, it so happens, currently is using me as his vessel to get the word out there. And like I said earlier, we're talking about being scripted and programs and all that kind of stuff. None of this is scripted. This is straight from God. And you, me, we got to get up. We got to go out there. We got to get this message out there. We got a bunch of the whole world, or like on my non-English, we got a big chunk of the world out there that's going to burn eternity in hell.
Amen.
And we need to get out there, and we need to spread that word. We got to be on fire for Christ. I sped through eager kind of on purpose, because we'll be eager for it. So we're going to spend a little time here. And I know we still got the senior thing and stuff like that. We'll take care of all that. So the Romans, what we read, so no, you're obligated. He's eager, not ashamed. Are you proud? Are you not ashamed to tell people you're a Christian? Are you acting like a Christian, first of all? What's a Christian? Be careful with that. What's your relationship with Jesus Christ?
There you go.
That's what everything revolves around that. And that's your Christianity. That's whatever you want to call it. You can call it what you want to call it. What's your relationship with Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Or you got a relationship with him? There's a difference. And Satan knows Jesus. Knows him very well. But he don't have a relationship with him. Not the right relationship.
Amen.
We need to have that personal one-on-one daily. Saturate yourself in the Word of God to have that relationship so you're not ashamed. When you do get ridiculed, I can't say a big word. Not ashamed. The gospel in the Greek is the good message, which is Jesus. That's what we got to put out there. For those who believe, it's for those who believe, that's John 3:16. The basis here. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, we can get out there, we can spread the message, spread the gospel. That's the basis right there. That's just something as simple as that. Just say, hey, because almost a lot of people, you see John 3:16 everywhere on advertisements and necklaces and stuff. A lot of people know John, if they're a Christian or not, they know John 3:16. Start with that. Just tell them, hey, this is what God did for you and me.
Amen.
And what you going to do with it?
There you go.
Or are you going to accept it? And then John 4:14, jump up a little bit, for those who thirst for the word. But whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up in eternal life. Eternal life, you never thirst again. And so Christ gives it. He gives that to us. Righteousness of God revealed by faith. And we read Habakkuk a while ago. Just as written, the righteous will live by faith. So you accept Christ. You're obligated. You're going to do the things he wants you to do. And so this is how you live. Let me tell you something. You would never 100% be confident or comfortable enough in what God asks you to do. You won't. Now, he will take you and do what he needs to do with you.
Amen.
And get the word out there by faith. If you knew everything, if you didn't worry about it, and you knew everything he wanted you to do, and he had all the answers, you wouldn't need faith. So you got to live by faith. You got to be the faith that he will work that out. That he will take care of you. He will do that. Salvation only works by faith, which is itself is a gift of God. Rightly understood, the truths in Romans can... What's that word? I got a typo here. Reveal right thinking and results in right living. You set your mind on Christ. You line up with Christ. You're going to live right. You're going to do the right things. You're going to make the right decisions.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you a little difference there. And so y'all saying, well, you say that, but I hit my thumb with a hammer the other day and I said a cuss word. Not me personally, but I probably have before. But you know what? You jump right back in. God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I move on. I messed up. I made a mistake. Now, the difference is if you lined up with Christ, you're not going to continually stay in sin. You're not going to intentionally sin. You're not going to live in that nature. You're going to do what Christ wants you to do. The Holy Spirit, that's what it's for, is going to tap on you. It's going to let you know when you're right from wrong. It'll get your attention.
Amen.
When a person is in danger is when you don't feel that Holy Spirit doing it, and you've been in that situation so long, put yourself there, that it's drifting away. And I got another sermon we're going to work on too about committing certain sins that affect the body and that affects your relationship with Christ. But that's a different story. I don't know why I brought it up. But. To be saved, you ever been asked that? I've been. What's it mean to be saved? Saved from what? Glad you asked again. Let me tell you. Set free from the greatest of evil, the consequences of the fall, and placed in possession of the greatest good, the blessing of salvation, past, present, and future. Let me put it in simple terms. You're saved from burning eternity in hell, and you're going to live eternity with Jesus Christ, the very person that came down from heaven off his throne to die on that cross to become human beings for you and I.
Amen.
When he didn't have to, because of his great love, he wanted to, and he did it. So let's talk about the past, present, future. So what is justification? I'm letting it soak in. You don't have to answer. I'm just letting it soak in a minute. So justification is, this is what salvation does for you. Okay? At some point before you receive Christ, like a better word, you had a junky past. You was headed to hell. And not necessarily you was a bad person. That has nothing to do with it. Good or bad don't have nothing to do with it. What's your relationship with Christ?
Right.
Has everything to do with it. Now, a lot of that bad is going to wash away when you get Christ. But the guy told me before, I think it was probably Brother Glenn up here one time. He said, a lot of good people are going to be in hell.
Come on.
And there are going to be people in heaven that's going to surprise you. So justification, this is what it does for you. It frees the believer from the penalty of sin immediately. You establish that relationship with Christ. You're not going to have all the, don't wait till you have all the answers before you say, okay, I got to do this. You know, I got to accept Christ or whatever. You just obey. You listen to the Holy Spirit. He calling you. You accept Christ, and then you'll start maturing as a Christian as you work on it as you go. And stuff. What's the word I'm looking for? He's going to clean you up as you go. He ain't waiting on perfect people, because you'll never get there. So he's going to free you, the believer, from the penalty of sin. And that's immediately. As soon as you accept Christ as your Savior, boom. You're immediately in his grace. And that's Romans 10:9-13, if you want to read that. If you read this, in Romans, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's one of those verses I like to say, you know, like John 14:6. It's straight to the point. There's no maybes. There's no if. If you, there's one if.
There you go.
That's right at the beginning. If you do this, then you're saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Anyone, this is Isaiah, as Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. That's everyone. Everybody got the same opportunity. The same Lord is the Lord of all.
Amen.
And richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's your justification. That's all you got to do. You're sitting out there today, you don't have that relationship with Christ. You don't know exactly how to say it. You ain't got to say it verbatim. You don't have to do that. When we have an altar call, you can come up here. And so I like, I think it's Brother Cherry. You just come up to a pastor, me or who, I don't care who, it don't have to be me. You come up here and say, I want Jesus. Then that's all you got to do. It's that simple. You don't have to verbatim or quote a verse. I don't care about that. And he don't either. He wants you to realize you need him. That's what you need. That's what we need to focus on. So that's the past, and you'd be justified. Now sanctification, the present. This is what, right now, the present, what we're living in. You're a Christian. You already done that. You're justified. Now you're living sanctified. That's not a good word to say. Sanctification frees the believer from the power of sin. Justification gets you from the penalty of sin, which is death, eternal hell. That frees you from that. Now, sanctification frees a believer from the power of sin progressively. As you're going through life, between now until Jesus calls you home, however he does that, if he comes get you or if you go to sleep for a little while and take you home, he frees you from the power of sin. Jesus did every single bit of this right there on that cross.
Amen.
He defeated death, defeated sin, defeated Satan, defeated all the evil. Mm-hmm. He did it.
That's right.
All you got to do is say you want it. That's all you got to do. Say, I want, this is what I want. Now, there'll be some challenges. Mm-hmm. There'll be some stuff come your way, but it's already taken care of. Look at the big picture. Where you headed? What I got? The victory's won. The war is over. You know where you're headed. You got eternity. That's when we're going to go into glorification here in just a second. So justification frees you from the penalty of sin. Sanctification frees you from the power of sin as you're living here on earth, and then. This is the end game. This is that's not a good word. It's not the end. It's actually there's no such thing as a beginning or end in heaven. So glorification frees a believer from the presence of sin. Ultimately, that's our goal. That's where we're going to be at. One day, we're going to be with Christ in heaven, and there's going to be no sin. There's going to be nothing. So that's what we have to look forward to. Yeah. So right now, if you're living in sanctification, sin has no power over you. None. Because you got Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you ain't there yet, then you need to get Jesus Christ to get that justification and to stop that penalty from coming to you, and then live in sanctification and then have no power over you. Then the goal is glorification. No sin. He's going to bring you home. And then nothing to worry about no more. It'll be over. Romans 13:11 says, and do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than we first believed.
Amen.
Now, it might be 1,000 years from now, or it might be tomorrow.
Amen.
Or today. Whenever that is, it's closer than it was yesterday. So, you know, people get hung up on, well, it's already been a couple thousand years, which is probably about 2 days in his terms. You know, a thousand years is like a day. A day is like 1,000 years to God. So either every second that ticks away is the closer it gets to that time.
Amen.
So you need to be ready. And
right.
My OPT instructor said, you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready.
Amen.
So you come up here if you need to here in a little bit and get ready. Prepare yourself to get ready for when Christ returns.
Amen.
Because let me tell you something. He's coming.
Oh, yeah.
If you want him to or not, just because you don't believe it don't mean it ain't going to happen.
Amen.
It's happening. Let me tell you right now, it's happening. It's coming. It's on point.
Oh, yeah.
Now, a lot of people, you know, I like to think he's coming soon enough where we don't have to face death. We can just get caught, we get snatched out, or snatched up, not out. But either way, we know where we're going to be at. The Let me close with this. If you already got Christ, remember, just remember this. You're obligated. You should be eager. And you should not be ashamed.
Amen.
Be proud that you're a Christian, that you've got eternal life. None of us would have any of this if Jesus hadn't done it for us.